Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Kane, I want to ask you a question. If you had to go to a surgeon,
yeah,
and they had been arrested twice for crystal meth,
oh man,
would you still go to them?
No.
Okay, what if you were a lady and they were like a plastic surgeon? Which, not that that's any makes the other surgery less important, but if they're
cutting,
doing that,
they're still cutting on me.
Yeah, yeah, especially if they're like cutting up on your face and stuff, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay, so apparently not everyone thinks like you and I. So in St. Petersburg, Florida, ABC Action News, they uncovered the record of a local plastic surgeon who was arrested twice, since 2020 for meth.
Oh, boy.
Dr. William Wright Adams. The first felony case was dropped. He's awaiting trial on his second meth possession case. So they apparently crystal meth was seized from a backpack while they, the St. Petersburg police, they pulled over his Chevy Suburban. He was driving to work May of last year. He told the officer, because he was like, oh, you're taking me up. I'm supposed to be operating right now. I'm a plastic surgeon. And while they were searching for the SUV, there was a patient waiting in the office, you know, to undergo. And they're like, they're putting someone to sleep right now for me to operate on, he says. So I have to call them if I can't be there. They're all waiting for me. So officers called his office to inform the staff. They had to get somebody to pick up his vehicle because they found, apparently, this gets crazier. They found stuff in his car. But then, according to the police report, a co-defendant in the case told police that Adams had hired him to burglarize an ex-boyfriend's home. And then, yeah, so there's that, too, that complicates. Yeah. By the way, what they found when they pulled him over, a glass pipe in his backpack. They found meth. He was charged with possession. And then they also got him with residential burglary. So the trial is supposed to begin December 6th of this year. Why in the, I mean, his license is clear and active. Wasn't that, if you have, for meth, crystal meth. Okay. I don't even understand, guys. So ex-MMA fighter Javier Baez chokes out a Florida man who tried to stab him. Yeah, don't, man, people just, this is what happens. I'm telling you, like, don't FAFO, because sometimes you, I mean, you're going to do something like this happens. A Florida man flew into a violent rage in a Miami parking lot and tried to pull a knife on a guy, and it was the wrong guy to pull the knife on. Javier Baez had a brief pro career in MMA, 5-1 record, retired in 2018. The guy came at him with a 14-inch knife in a parking lot at night. Surveillance camera showed him parrying the attack. He lifted the dude, slammed into the pavement in a chokehold, and that he said his reaction was second nature. Yeah. He goes, I put his belly to the floor, my knee in his back, and I called the cops. The attacker is 50-year-old Omar Marrero. And yeah, that was it. He goes, when I started putting the choke in, he just kind of let go. He goes, no one's worried about anything else but breathing when you're losing air. Easy peasy. That is so, that's just badass. That's amazing. I love that. That's such a great story. A Florida man with a fake McLovin license plate took cops on a 110-mile-per-hour motorcycle chase in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. Yeah, McLovin it. Plant City, Florida man was arrested Sunday morning early after law enforcement officials in a high-speed chase during overnight hours finally apprehended him. He had a fake license plate on his bike that said McLovin. Yeah, 30-year-old Jesse Rivera, he was weaving in and out of cars, going 110 in a 45-mile-per-hour, 12:15 a.m. on Sunday. And they said they turned on their lights. He kept going, so he led them on this chase. He sped up, led them on the chase. They finally got him, but he's got the McLovin plate on the bike, fake plate. I mean, if you're going to fake a plate, man, that's the way to do it. Don't do that, though. After Death, it's a film. New film from the makers of The Sound of Freedom and The Chosen. It's a film from Angel Studios called After Death, and it is a very unprecedented deep dive into the phenomenon that people have experienced with near-death experiences, right? You hear all these kind of stories, and it's interesting because a lot of people have kind of very similar. There's some shared aspects of these experiences. So this movie explores all of that. Like, what happens after we die? What happens when we die from the perspective of people who visited and have gone through this process and then come back? And so it uses first-person accounts, but they also incorporate very careful research from experts in the fields of science and philosophy, medicine, everything from philosophy, science, knowledge. These first-hand accounts all come together to give a really well-rounded insight into this phenomenon. And you can find a theater near you and purchase tickets online at angel.com/Dana. After Death is in theaters now. And you can also pay it forward, where generous individuals have they're providing free tickets for others to see the film. You can do that. Or if you would like, you know, maybe because it's Biden Academy, if you would like to get some tickets to go see the film, you can find it at angel.com/Dana. Leave your preconceptions at the door and prepare for a never before seen glimpse into what the next life could entail in After Death in theaters now. To get your tickets today or pay it forward, visit angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning, rated PG-13.
Right now, there are two additional Democrats running for president right now. One is a congressman from Minnesota. The other one is the governor of California. They're both running for president, but only one had the guts to announce it.
I can't believe that I'm saying this because John Fetterman said this. I am in a weird spot. Hold up. So first off, welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. Listen coast to coast. Stream the show. Simulcast. Sign up for the newsletter over Substack chapter and verse. This is weird, Kane. Because he said the right thing with regards to Israel and Hamas. And he called out Gavin Newsom. I don't like him, but these are two things that are not wrong.
Right.
Done by him, that guy, Fetterman. Are we all dead? Is this a dream? What is this? This is weird for me that when the left gets so messed up that they say things that you're like, wait a minute, when they fight, because they're having this huge fight right now. And I'm so confused, Kane. What do I do?
I don't know. Drink.
He said these things that are correct. And our society tells me, because of the tribalism, I'm not supposed to acknowledge this.
Well,
because it's a betrayal.
Luckily, you call balls and strikes, no matter what the political.
True, but I also just don't like him.
Right.
And there's a part of me that's just, you know, the little petty Dana that, you know how some people have better angels?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have like an better angel, and then the rest of them are not. And one of the loudest ones is the little petty one. And it's going, no, who cares? You know, I don't care if he said two things right. So I'm on the struggle bus, man. Gosh, I don't want to acknowledge this. It's like having an existential crisis live on air. Oh my gosh, he said something that I agree with. Because normally they could be like, chocolate's tasty. And I want to go, no, it's not, you damn communist, chocolate loving communist. Wait a minute, what? You see the problem. All right, anyway. It's true, though. They're having such a problem over there. So Biden's going into his carrot top bag of tricks. Dude, I don't even know. Why do they always go to the trains? Why do they always do this? All of a sudden, the Thomas engine train popped up in my head. The theme. Amtrak Joe, he's unveiling $16 billion in railway spending. Wait a minute. Whoa. Kane, how do trains run?
I guess that would be on what, like fuel of some sort, which would rely on oil or gas or something.
Coal. Too, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that green?
No. Not from what I've been told.
You know what? What he should have done is said, you know what we're going to do? If he was truly green, he could have said, we're investing because it's $16 billion in rail infrastructure projects. He was in Delaware. He left his beach house for a moment to go to Delaware. And I swear the image that Juan is showing looks like it is AI. I can't tell anymore. If it looks kind of weird, I question it unless it's like Biden or Fetterman. I'm like, no, they're supposed to look like that. But always look at the fingers. If they have only like three fingers, then it's usually AI. Or six. I mean, there's always one less or one more. He says it's going to help make the jobs better. We're going to have the rail. We're gonna have the tunnels and the tracks. I thought, because he's not doing well in the polls now. I don't want you to mistake what's happening here. Biden is doing poorly in polls where they're asking about his job performance. Don't mistake that for a head-to-head matchup with either DeSantis or Trump or anybody else. Because I feel like then you're lulled purposefully into this position of apathy where you think it's going to be all wrapped up. So you really don't have to do anything or convince anybody. And that's a dangerous place to be, because as I said last hour, elections are determined by the margins. And so I'm a little cautious of this coming out. I'm always cautious whenever I see the media moving to coalesce behind anything, because that makes, I don't trust them. And I think that they are relying upon past behavioral conditioning of their readers to come into play here and follow them on this narrative. And so all these little headlines about, oh, Biden's doing so bad. I'm just still be cautious. But at the same time, there's also a huge faction in the Democrat Party that would love to get Biden out and would love to just slip in Gavin Newsom there. Because I don't think Fetterman made it. I don't think he said that on his own. I think he was told to say that. He didn't say that on his own. He was told to do it. This is why it's in there. They're actively, there's a cold primary happening right now in the Democrat Party between Newsom and Biden. And Kamala is just there. She's there. She's completely inconsequential, but she's there. And Biden who knows where he is. He's barely sentient. But I think that if he was truly green, back to my original point, you know what he would do is he would take people and slingshot them on those big ass windmills, you know, like put little sacks on them blades and just sling somebody where they need to go. It's green. Look how green that is. Your luggage may end up with you. You don't know. But look how green it is. Right? Or you know what's greener? Don't go. Just stay home in your tiny 15-square-foot tiny home and eat bugs. That's what they want. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the P15. This one's awesome. P15 is a really innovative firearm. It's the lightest, slimmest double-stack mag, double-stack 9mm on the market. And it's unloaded. It's 14 ounces, holds 15 plus one rounds. You got the Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear, striker fire reliability, really sweet trigger. Now, it comes in two versions. You have the P15 polymer and the P15 metal. The metal polymer is pretty self-explanatory. It has gator grip texture for easy handling. And the metal version, same great modern sight, same great trigger, same excellent capacity, has classic wood grips for a very classic and comfortable feel. It has a real true vintage look, a metal frame. It's just awesome looking. But this is just, you know, same, the Kel-Tec innovation in quality, reliability, and performance that you've come to love. So for public safety and self-defense, P15 is a must-have in your EDC rotation. Make it one of your go-tos. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, first up, let's see here. I don't know if you... do you guys remember WeWork? That I couldn't understand the whole concept behind WeWork. Isn't that where you would go in and you basically had like an office where everybody else had offices? Anyway, they filed for Chapter 11. They said that they needed to trim non-operational leases, and they're not. They said they suffered one of the most, described by CNBC, one of the most spectacular corporate collapses in recent U.S. history. They tried to go public 5 years ago. Didn't happen. And obviously, the coronavirus and the shutdown caused further pain because everybody ended their leases and they had economic slump. And so, yeah, it didn't work. WeWork didn't work. Long story short, WeWork didn't work. A billionaire-backed tech group said it's bought all the land it needs for its utopian city. This all sounds terrifying. It's a Silicon Valley group backed by billionaires. They got all this land for a utopian city in Northern California. They've been quietly buying properties in the past month. Flannery Associates, the company behind the California Forever Project, got seven more land parcels, 814 acres in Solano County. They own 53,000 acres in the area, and they want to create a walkable green community that they say would generate thousands of jobs. How? I'd love to hear about how this happens. I would love to hear this. They said that they $800 million in scooping up land for the project. People are asking about the impact that it's going to have on the environment, agricultural, et cetera, security, because Travis Air Force Base is nearby. They're in litigation with landowners because they said that landowners are colluding to inflate the values of their property. So it's like a $500 million lawsuit right now. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows what the California Forever Project really is. It sounds like a hippie utopia. How many times have people tried to do this? It always ends with somebody like drinking some kind of, you know, juice or Kool-Aid or something and everybody dying. I just gotta say, it's what it sounds like. I don't know. Let's see here. I saw this over at New York Post about a heat wave because today's date is the 7th of November. And they're saying that 200 million Americans are in the path of a record heat wave. It's only going to be in the upper 80s. We have 2 days, Kane, of upper 80s, upper 70s, and then it goes down to low 70s, and then that's it with the warm temperatures.
Upper 80s in Texas is cool.
It is, yeah. It's cool for us. I mean, it's like very cool for us. I'm done with it because I want to get out my sweaters and I'm ready to, you know, like I'm in cozy mode. That's what I want. So I normally don't like to like do stuff like this on air. But I had to play this audio soundbite. This was the one, what is it, Owens? Which one is this? Do we not have this?
No, we have it.
Because this was an exchange, and I was kind of shocked to hear something like this on the right. It was a discussion about, you know, in West Bank and Jerusalem, you know, you have different communities that choose to live together in different parts of the city, and we're going to talk more about this. But I thought this exchange was a little wild. Actually, it was a friend of mine had sent this over, which is where I saw it, and I was like, "What? What?" But it was this exchange between Daily Wire, and Ben's a colleague that we used to work together at Breitbart. But I thought this was a very odd exchange. Listen to this.
My grandfather grew up in a segregated South. And so when I'm walking mm-hmm. through Jerusalem and you see, and they say these are the Muslim quarters, this is where the Muslims are right. allowed to live, that doesn't mm-hmm. feel like a bastion of freedom to me. So I guess.
Oh, I don't think it's where they're allowed to live in Jerusalem. I think it's that there's an Armenian quarter. It's not saying the Armenians can only live here. It's that there are communities, just like there's a Jewish community in Jersey here and there's a Muslim community in here.
Why did Candace Owens have to be told that? No one say anything about Little Italy and St. Louis. Only the Italians can live here, or Chinatown. Only the Chinese can live here. I mean, we in my hometown of St. Louis, we have a huge Bosnian population. Huge Bosnian population. It's like the biggest diaspora outside.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and everybody chooses to live in South City. That's just where they choose to live. And that's the same thing there when you're talking about in West Bank, talking about in Jerusalem. You have the Armenian Christians that want to live together. You have Muslims that want to live together. That's like saying only the French are allowed in the French Quarter. If you're going to be presenting your opinion as one of authority on an issue, a little understanding goes a long way. Just saying. And especially when this is being used as a way to attack an ally, when this lack of understanding is being used to justify an attack on an ally and mischaracterization of them as being racists, that's how that was being presented here, I find astounding. Legitimately astounding. wow, I just don't have any. I mean, gosh, doesn't Paris have a Latin Quarter? Good heavens. I mean, there's like different communities where people like will live together. That's not forced segregation. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm kind of amazed. And by the way, the old city, it's like half of the old city in Jerusalem is their Muslim residents. So it's not a small percentage of the population. I don't know if she's, I mean, there is a quote unquote Palestinian side where Jewish people are not allowed to live. Just FYI, but you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of shocked at that. There are a lot of people in commentary that I think needed more time in the library. Yeah. but that kind of stuff misleads. And like I said, especially when you've spent, you know, the past several days justifying, characterizing wrongly an ally as like this proponent of racism and segregation based on your absolute non-grasp of the history and understanding of the, that's a major problem. And I don't like saying it, but I'm like, golly, come on, people. This is not hard. Go outside sometimes, touch grass, grab a book. Super fun.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.